The Philippines' poll body dismisses a petition to cancel Ferdinand Marcos Jr.'s certificate of candidacy for president. We'll get reactions on this later on in the program. The no vaccine, no ride policy now being implemented in Metro Manila. The number of COVID-19 cases in the Philippines surpasses 3.2 million. We'll discuss developments on the battle against the pandemic with infectious diseases expert Dr. Ronjean Solante. And three inmates escaped from the maximum security compound of the National Penitentiary. Hi, I'm Carmina Constantino. Dateline Philippines begins right now. Thanks for joining us. And for those of you watching us on YouTube and on Facebook, glad you could join us today. We begin with this piece of breaking news. The Philippines' poll body has junked a petition seeking to cancel the certificate of candidacy of presidential frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. The petitioners cited Marcos's previous conviction for tax evasion. But the COMELEC Second Division disagreed. It said Marcos's conviction does not carry with it the penalty of perpetual disqualification. We'll give you more details on this breaking news story as soon as they become available. Well, the Marcos camp welcomes the decision of the COMELEC Second Division. They thank the poll body for allowing Marcos to run for public office free of what they call harassment and discrimination. They also call on the public, including critics of the Marcos family, to work together to ensure a clean, fair, and credible elections this May. Vice President and presidential aspirant Lenny Robredo topped ad spending on Facebook among all 2022 candidates. Robredo spent 14.1 million pesos on the platform from August 4 to 2020, or when the transparency tool was activated, until December 31st last year. She was followed by re-electionist Senator Sherwin Gatchalian, while presidential aspirant Senator Panfilo Lacson came in third. Robredo's team says most of the ads were paid for by volunteers. In comparison, presidential frontrunner Bongbong Marcos has not recorded any ad spending on Facebook so far. Facebook's ad library is a public database of ads that ran on the social media platform owned by the company, but it does not cover payments to so-called influencers tapped to endorse candidates on Facebook. The Philippine government's no vaccination, no ride policy in Metro Manila in effect. That's despite some groups and officials expressing reservations on its implementation. Commuters are reminded to bring their vaccination cards as officials say there will be random inspections. The lawyers for commuters' safety and protection and the Land Transportation Franchising and Regulatory Board meanwhile remind the public and enforcers of certain exemptions.
Mga pasahero, yung ating mga kababayan na may mga medical conditions na hindi po talaga pwedeng mabakunahan. Ang kailangan lang po nilang ipakita ay medical certificate galing sa kanilang mga doktor. Kung may mga kababayan pa rin na hindi bakunado sa isang household at kailangan po nilang lumabas for essentials, kumuha lang po sila ng barangay pass.
The Philippine Public Attorney's Office slams the no vaccination, no ride policy. PAO Chief Persida Acosta says government's transport ban as well as other mobility curbs are highly unconstitutional and anti-poor. But she insists President Rodrigo Duterte is not to blame, even if he's the one who ordered such restrictions.
Republic Act 11525 states that vaccine cards shall not be necessary for educational, any transaction, and yet they are circumventing. Lalapag nila yung batas indirectly para bang para mapilitan kang magpabakuna. We cannot blame the president because he believes that the only way to curb and to fight against pandemic is vaccination. That was the advice to him by his health cabinet or consultant. Eh, hindi naman doktor nga si Presidente, pareho lang kami. Explain to them, what are the benefits? What are the risks? So, informed consent. Pag nagkasakit kayo, sagot kayo ng mayor. Wala kayong problema. Ngayon, kung di kumbinsido ang tao pa rin, abay, iyaan siyang magdesisyon.
Acosta admits she hasn't been vaccinated against COVID-19 herself. She is accused of seriously damaging the vaccine confidence of Filipinos after the public attorney's office pursued cases involving the controversial Dengvaxia vaccine in 2017. In 2019, the Philippine Health Department declared separate outbreaks of measles and polio cases after 19 years of being polio-free. Let's get reactions now on the COMELEC division or decision favoring Ferdinand Marcos Jr. We're now joined by presidential candidate Lyody De Guzman. Lyody, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today.
Magandang hapon din sa iyo, Carmina, at magandang hapon sa ating mga tagapanood.
Ano pong reaksyon niyo dito sa desisyon ng COMELEC Second Division na i-dismiss itong mga petition, at least under their watch or under their jurisdiction, laban dito po kay Ferdinand Marcos Jr., Kalyodi?
Alam mo, Carmina, ako ay hindi abogado at yung pinag-uusapan ay tungkol sa batas. Pero siyempre, ako ay nalulungkot doon sa naging desisyon dahil katulad ng mga petitioner, gusto ko rin na sana ma-disqualified si Marcos batay doon sa kanyang mga ginawa at batay doon sa mga isinumite ng mga petitioner. Kaya parang medyo nakakalungkot. Pero ganyan talaga eh. Desisyon niya ng COMELEC, at ang alam ko naman ay magkakaroon pa ng magpapile ng resolution or reconsideration yung grupo ng mga lawyers na nagpile ng petition.
Gaano po kayo ka-confident or may kumpiyansa ho ba kayo na pagkatapos itong desisyon ng Second Division, kahit po i-apela po ito sa NBank, ay magkakaroon ng panibagong desisyon ang COMELEC?
At alam ko, magkakaroon tingin ko ng panibagong desisyon, pero syempre kung may ganyan ng desisyon yung COMELEC, eh malamang isusustain nila yan at sigurado makakaabot yan sa Supreme Court. Ang problema natin, Carmina, pagkain ay dumating na sa Supreme Court, hindi natin alam kung kailan matatapos yan. At kung yan ay matapos, pagkatapos na ng eleksyon, magiging mutan na academic na yan dahil may decision na yung mamayan kung ano man ang magiging decision. Kung favorable kay Marcos, eh malamang matapos na yung kaso. Mas good kung hindi manalo si Marcos sa eleksyon. At malamang ay parang ganun na rin. Parang hindi na rin sa nakalahok sa halalan. Pero ang problema, kapag nanalo siya. Tsak ang susundin ay yung desisyon na ng taong bayan. Magiging ganun tsak ang magiging resulta niyan.
So tingin niyo po kahit na magkaroon ng mga desisyon na ganito, no, ay makakaapekto pa rin ito pangkalahatan sa magiging eleksyon sa Mayo?
Oo, magkakaroon ng epekto. Lalo na kung halimbawa ang naging desisyon ng Second Division ay guilty o yung sustain yung petition, ay makaka-apekto yan kahit na mag-appeal pa si Marcos. Pero ngayon, na decisionan in favor sa kanya, ay may epekto rin yan doon sa magiging desisyon ng tao sa pagboto. Kahit pa mag-appeal yung mga petitioner hanggang Supreme Court.
Kalyodi, bilang huling katanungan na lang, ito po ay nakabase sa misrepresentation allegedly doon sa kanyang COC. Gayo na rin ang allegation na may attempt to mislead at dahil na rin ito, nag-uugat ito doon sa tax conviction ni Marcos Jr. At ganito po ang naging desisyon. May ilan pong mga petisyon na ito rin po ang basehan. Ano sa tingin nyo ang magiging epekto nitong desisyon na to sa iba pang mga petisyon laban kay Marcos Jr. na nakahain sa COMELEC, Kalyodi?
Eh, magkakaroon ng malaking epekto yan. Yun nga yung masama. Yun ang masama. Kung sa point of view ng mga petitioner, ay hindi magandang precedent yan dahil magiging panuntunan yan sa mga susunod. Gagamitin yan ng mga jurisprudence sa mga susunod na mga kasong ipapile. Kaya medyo nakakalungkot. Kaya lang sabi ko nga, Carmina, hindi ako lawyer, kaya ipaubayan natin doon sa magiging apila ng grupo, ng petitioner doon sa kaso na yan. Pero sa akin nga, medyo hindi, nakakalungkot yung decision dahil ako Sabi, ulitin ko lang, katulad ng mga petitioner, gusto ko sana ma-disqualified. Hindi lamang doon sa kaso ng tax evasion at nung pagsisinungaling, kundi sa maraming bagay tungkol sa klase ng hustisya mayroon ang ating bansa.
Finally, Kalyodi, paano makaepekto or ano ang epekto nitong desisyon ng Second Division sa inyo pong kampanya bilang pagtakbo po bilang Pangulo ng Pilipinas, Kalyodi?
Hindi na masyado makakaapekto yan dahil sa before pa lang ay mayroon na akong ganyang tingin na talagang hindi magiging paborable sa mga petitioner dahil nga yung klase ng hustisya mayroon tayo dito sa ating bayan. Kapag ka ikaw ay malakas ang koneksyon, may bilyon-bilyon kang pera, maraming bagay na nababaligtad ang desisyon at hindi nagiging paborable sa kung sino yung nasa tamang posisyon. Kaya sa akin, baka nga mas maganda pa yan sa eleksyon na lamang talunin si Marcos at nang sa ganun ay ang taong bayan ang magdesisyon sa kanya. Kaya hindi masyado makaka-efekto.
Oo, sundutin ko lang po, Kalyodi, yung statement po na binitawan nyo ngayon, hindi naman nangangahulugan na meron kayong pagdududa sa COMELEC dahil mahirap po din yan dahil ang COMELEC ang siyang talagang itinalaga ng batas na talagang mag-ensure na magkaroon tayo ng fair, honest, and credible elections dito. Pero sa statement ho ninyo, kayo ba'y may naiisip na may hinding magandang nangyayari sa COMELEC? Kalyodi, ipaki-clarify lang po.
Carmina, hindi naman sa ganun ang punto ko. Ang tingin ko lang, merong mahalagang bagay na hindi nakita yung COMELEC sa kanyang pagdidesisyon. At dapat yan iklaro ng mga petitioner sa kanyang pag-aapila sa susunod na dapat ay maklaro yun ng maigi, stipulate ng klaro doon sa kailang magiging apila.
Okay, we're gonna have to leave it at that. Kalyodi de Guzman, presidential candidate. Maraming salamat po. Take care po and keep safe.
Maraming salamat din, Carmina. Maraming salamat.
Right, back in the news, the next item is about the Philippines' COVID-19 caseload. It's topping 3.2 million. That's after the health department logged 37,154 new infections Sunday. Active cases climbed to a new record high, 287,856. The Octo Research Group has observed a lower daily coronavirus growth rate in the National Capital Region, the epicenter of this Omicron surge. But Professor Guido David says that may just be because the NCR has reached the limit of its testing capacity.
Hindi na lang nasa NCR plus ang surge. It's now all over the Philippines. And hindi pa siya magpipeak sa buong Philippines. Even if, kunyari, sabihin natin, baka nagpipeak na sa NCR. Pero the rest of the country, hindi pa siya nagpipeak. Tumataas pa lang.
Ido also believes COVID cases in the country would not reach their peak anytime soon since areas outside Metro Manila have just started to experience a sharp increase in infections. And still following our developing story, the COMELEC Second Division junking petitions against presidential candidate Ferdinand Marcos Jr. We're now joined by attorney Vic Rodriguez. He is the spokesperson of Marcos Jr. Attorney Vic, good afternoon to you. Thanks for joining us today. Welcome to the program.
Good afternoon, Carmina. Good afternoon sa lahat ng nakikinig at nanonood ng inyong programa. And I just saw in the program early on si Kalyodi. Magandang hapon sa iyo, Kalyodi.
Oh, umalis na po siya, Attorney Rodriguez. I want to ask now about how HQ, how the headquarters is taking this decision of the COMELEC Second Division.
Well, kami natutuwa, Carmina, sa naging desisyon ng Second Division pagkat ito unanimous at sinasabi nga doon sa naging decision that there was no material misrepresentation committed by Presidential Aspirant Bongbong Marcos when he filed and answered his certificate of candidacy last November 5.
So, alam po natin na there is a possibility that the petitioners will appeal this before the COMELEC bank. How confident are you that even if, even when it reaches the COMELEC bank, that you will still get the same favorable ruling?
Well, from the beginning, when these cases were filed, Way back in October, Carmina, lagi naman naming sinasabi na kami ay kampante at kumpiyansa sa aming legal arguments presented before the answer that we have filed before the Commission on Election. And wala naman nagbago doon sapagkat pinag-aaralan naman namin yung mga kasong ito. In fact, if you may recall, ang description ko nga rito ay mga nuisance petition. And napapatunayan naman slowly. At itong pinakahuling na naging hatol ng Second Division ng Commission on Election, unanimous ito. At kami natutuwa, siguro at least, just in your program, let me just enjoy itong momentarily, itong tagumpay na ito. Subalit, inaasahan naman namin na mag-aapila pa yung mga petitioners.
Because in your statement, you said it's been fully ventilated and this petition, but right now you're saying that you're still expecting that it's going to go on.
Yeah, on the first layer, dito sa division level, fully ventilated naman, hindi ba? Nabigyan sila ng kanilang constitutional right na mag-file ng kaso, binigyan sila ng pagkakataong marinig, at pinag-file lahat ng necessary pleadings. At ito na nga, umabot na tayo sa puntong meron ng decision duly promulgated at unanimously dismissed yung kaso laban kay presidential aspirant Bongbong Marcos. Kaya sinasabi ko ito'y fully ventilated sapagkat napabigyan naman lahat ng partido, including us.
We do know that this is not the only petition that the Marcos Jr. is facing. There are several petitions still that he faces. How do you think this particular decision is going to affect the other petitions pending before the COMELEC against your principal?
Well, I cannot comment for obvious reason on the other pending cases pending before the other division, the first division. And just to clarify a point, this second division case stemmed from a petition to deny due course or cancel the certificate of candidacy of presidential aspirant Bongbong Marcos, predicated apparently on the alleged commission of material misrepresentation. However, the cases filed before or pending before the first division, iba nature noon, Carmina, yun ay disqualification case naman. So magkaiba yung nature ng kaso, although the narratives are completely the same, ang nagpalit lamang ay yung petitioners. But kaganoon pa man, kagaya ng sinabi ko sa iyo, let's just discuss what has been given today, which is the case pending before the second division of the COMELEC.
But it still roots from that tax conviction, right, years ago. So do you...
There's no tax conviction, Carmina. Let me correct you on that minor inaccuracy. Okay. There is no tax conviction sapagkat umabot sa Court of Appeals yan at walang conviction na naganap. Just to be precise.
And even with that clarification, that is still the root of the other petitions. That's the basis for the other petitions as well. And given that that was decided upon by the second division, do you think that you will also be able to get a favorable ruling in the other petitions pending before the commission?
I rather not encroach on what's going to happen in the first division sapagkat yan nga po ay live case at pending pa. Ang pinag-uusapan lang natin dito ay yung naging desisyon ng Commission on Election sa Second Division. And ulitin ko, no, wala naman kasi talagang tax evasion na kaso or conviction si Presidential Aspirant Bongbong Marcos. Kaya nga malinaw dito sa naging desisyon ng COMELEC, walang material misrepresentation. Dalawa kasi yung tinitingnan ng COMELEC dyan at yun yung nakita nila. Unang-una, si Presidential Aspirant Bongbong Marcos possesses all the qualification and none of the disqualification to run for the public office that he is seeking for. Pangalawa, sinasabi din ng Commission on Election, wala rin naman na conviction na di umanong nangyari sa tax case niya sapagkat ito nga ay na-reverse at binago ng Court of Appeals.
Tell me something, Attorney Rodriguez. Nagkaroon ho ba ng pag-aalinlangan ng kaba na baka maapektuhan itong standing ng inyo pong principal na si Marcos Jr. habang dumadami at habang dinidinig itong mga kaso laban sa kanya?
Hindi naman kami nagdududa sa mga planong ginagawa namin papunta dito sa campaign proper for the presidency. At nakikita naman namin, kagaya nga ng sinabi namin na long time ago, about last year pa ito, October and November, that these are all political propaganda at ginagamit lamang, linalagyan lang ng color of legitimacy by filing nuisance petition before the COMELEC. Pagkaganon pa man, we are not distracted. And whatever is going to come our way, we will not be distracted. Patuloy lang kami sa pagsisikap at paggawa ng mabubuti, pati yung pagtulong doon sa mga tinulungan namin last year ng Typhoon Odette. At ngayon naman, responding to in our own little way as private citizen Bongbong Marcos dito sa pagtaas ng COVID-19 Omicron cases.
Attorney Rodriguez, in your statement that you released just a few minutes after the COMELEC Second Division came out, in that statement you called for unity, you called for fair and credible elections, and part of that really is allowing your principal or you as a candidate to be able to talk to mainstream media and to be able to talk about certain issues, right? Why is it, according to some and according to other media outfits as well, that Marcos Jr. has been quite elusive to mainstream media and would rather just use social media platforms to communicate to the people?
Una-una, Carmina, hindi siya elusive. Ang official start ng campaign period for the information of everyone ay February 8. So pagdating ho ng tamang panahon, magpapa-interview po si Presidential Aspirant Bongbong Marcos. So hindi po siya elusive. In fact, it will be presumptuous and violative of the restrictions ng ating COMELEC resolution kung pa-interview tayo ng pa-interview kung patungkol sa kampanya ang pag-uusapan natin.
Pero sa iba po, nagpapa-interview siya.
As you have said, sa social media. And these are all probably referring to the vlogs.
Why is that so? Why? Explain to us the strategy behind that.
Well, it's a campaign strategy which unfortunately hindi pa tapos din ang kampanya. I hope you understand and I know you understand. Hindi ko naman pwedeng basta-basta i-share sa iyo yung mga bagay na aming ginagawa at gagawin pa at baka kami ay magaya na naman.
Magaya po? Sino pong nanggagaya sa inyo?
I don't have to explain, Fermina. I am just responding to your question.
Attorney Rodriguez, how is Marcos Jr. right now?
He is okay. He has completed his quarantine and completed his RT-PCR test last, I think, Thursday or Friday, which turned out negative. Mabuti naman.
How was he reacting to all those opinions and impressions that, you know, he was misleading the public yet again, and this is according to some people, yet again, when he failed to show up in that COMELEC hearing, when he agreed to be a guest on a show, how is that affecting him, that people have this impression of him, that
who is that some people that you're referring to, Carmina? But anyway, it's a COVID thing at lahat tayo ay hindi immune dito. In fact, 2 weeks kami nagsara ng opisina. Even I personally was tested positive. So I think it's useless to be talking about this now, especially if some people ang ating reference.
Yeah, now when I talk about some people, it's about, you know, the chatter on social media, the opinions that we read, the comments that we read on social media. Of course, we continue to monitor that as part of the pulse of the people. Attorney Rodriguez.
Respect the opinion of other people, kahit ito ay panay patikos o banat kay Presidential Aspirant Bongbong Marcos. Subalit, yun nga, nagkaroon ng masamang pakiramdaman tao at siya ay na-expose sa akin. Ako yung pinakahuli. At sa kanyang chief security. So we're just following protocol. In fact, why would we want to suspend our own campaign when we are doing, I think we're doing well with our campaign? Why do we have to suspend and close our own HQ for 2 weeks?
Back to the issue at hand here, which is the COMELEC Second Division. Of course, there's going to be an appeal before the COMELEC on bank. But had you not received a favorable ruling, how far would you have taken it, Attorney Rodriguez?
As I always say, I am a lawyer. I do not resort to speculation, Carmina. ulitin ko lang, of course, let me just enjoy this momentary brief in your program. So kung ano man ang darating sa hinaharap, hinaharapin namin. Ganun naman kami ever since. Kung anong ibinibigay sa amin, hinaharap namin.
Ano po yung... Kanina po, katulad ng nabanggit nyo, we had Caliori de Guzman on the show and he was talking about, you know, the possibility of this reaching the Supreme Court and the possibility of this really casting a doubt on the election process. What is your assessment regarding that, Attorney Rodriguez, that all these petitions might eventually cast a doubt on the credibility of the election process?
No, not at all. I think it's the other way around. With the cases being filed before the Commission on Election, who is the primary body tasked to administer and enforce election laws and conduct election, at dinidesisyon na naman nila base sa merito, lalong titining ang credibility ng halalang ito. And the only thing, ilagi ko nga sinasabi, alam ho ninyo, elections, issues and all are settled and won on election day. At yung isang bagay na sinabi ni Caliori kanina, tama ho yun, sang-ayon ako sa iyo, Caliori. Alam ninyo, pinakamagandang batayan, antayin natin ang halalan at hayaan nating magsalita ang sambayan ng Pilipino. Huwag natin pusalan. Huwag tayo mag-resort sa mga dirty political propaganda, kagaya ng mga ganitong nuisance cases. Dali natin ang usapan sa araw ng halalan. Let's settle all issues on election day again because we believe that elections are settled and won on election day.
How would you then reconcile that with your principle challenging the results of the elections when Vice President Lenny Robredo won?
Iba naman yon, Carmina, and we will no longer go back into that sapagkat 2016 pa yan eh. Again, uulitin ko sa iyo, klaro kay presidential aspirant Bongbong Marcos that this election is about the future. The future of the country, the future of the Filipino children and youth, the future of the Philippines. So hindi namin para pag-usapan na yung bagay na yan ngayon.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that. We've run out of time. Attorney Vic Rodriguez, thank you for joining us today. Take care and you keep safe.
Salamat, Carmina, at magandang hapon.
I'm going to take a break now. Up ahead, three inmates escape from the National Penitentiary's maximum security compound. Details of that story and more when Dateline Philippines returns. Stay with us here on AMC. We're back. You're still with Dateline Philippines here on ANC. Here's another look at our headlines this noon. The Philippines' poll body dismisses a petition to cancel Ferdinand Marcos Jr.'s certificate of candidacy for president. Vaccine no-ride policy now being implemented in Metro Manila. The number of COVID-19 cases in the Philippines surpasses 3.2 million. And three inmates escaped from the maximum security compound of the National Penitentiary. Back with more news. Thailand reports its first death due to the Omicron variant. The patient was an 86-year-old woman from the southern province of Songkhla who had underlying conditions. Thailand has so far detected over 10,000 cases of the highly transmissible variant. Health authorities, however, see no further need to impose more restrictions to contain the variant. The country reported 8,000 new infections Sunday, taking its total caseload to 2.3 million. The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention now urging Americans to upgrade their masks to give themselves the best protection possible amid this current surge in infections. More in this report.
The U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have revised their guidance for Americans on wearing masks to protect against COVID-19, recommending wearing, quote, the most protective mask you can and that you will wear consistently. But the agency stopped short of advocating nationwide usage of N95 respirators, which filter at least 95% of airborne particles, both large and small. A surgical mask, by comparison, is designed to protect others against virus particles that are breathed out. The agency on Friday said it wants to encourage Americans to wear masks rather than push them to wear the highest grade face protection, but also explicitly said that respirators provide the best level of protection, while, quote, loosely woven cloth products provide the least protection. N95 masks are flying off the conveyor belt at Protective Health Gear in Paterson, New Jersey, as the manufacturer ramps up production amidst the Omicron surge of the coronavirus in the U.S. The company's CEO, Brian Wolin, says demand is through the roof.
I've been saying since day one, if they could make these available to everyone on the planet, I personally believe that every problem that we had wouldn't be here at this particular time. Now, certainly, these weren't available in abundance back in 2020, but they are now.
The factory is operating 24/7 to manufacture 70,000 N95 respirators per day and plans to increase that number to 110,000 in the coming weeks as demand heats up. Critics have accused the CDC of offering shifting and confusing guidance throughout the pandemic regarding mask wearing. After announcing Thursday that the federal government plans to make high-quality masks available to Americans for free, the White House on Friday said the government will also begin shipping 500 million COVID-19 tests to Americans later this month without charge. COVID-19 infections in the U.S. are at their peak, with nearly 780,000 new infections reported each day.
COMELEC spokesperson James Jimenez fielded more questions from media following his announcement of the Second Division's ruling earlier today, junking the petition seeking to cancel the certificate of candidacy of presidential frontrunner Ferdinand Marcos Jr. Let's get more details now from our correspondent, Ina Reformina. Ina, what else can you tell us?
Yes, Casey, let's go back to this important story that we have today regarding this case against presidential frontrunner Bongbong Marcos. Partido Federal ng Pilipinas presidential contender Marcos Jr. has won in the first case filed against him, challenging his presidential bid come May 9th. The second division, composed of commissioners in Ting, Co, and Bulay, junked the petition for the cancellation of Marcos's certificate of candidacy filed by civic leaders Father Christian Buenafe et al. Now, a copy of the ruling has already been made public, Casey. What the division agreed with petitioners, the two entries of Marcos in his filed COCR material, meaning relevant, the commission said, these representations are not false. Again, not false. These pertain to item 11 of the COC, where the aspirant declares he or she is eligible to run for the post. And box 22, which asks the aspirant whether or not he or she was found liable for an offense which carries the accessory penalty of perpetual disqualification to hold public office, which has become final and executory. In its 32-page ruling penned by Associate Justice Socorro Inting, retired CA Justice Socorro Inting, and now Commissioner Inting of the Second Division, the division noted that the petition actually merits summary dismissal or outright dismissal because it included grounds that fall under a disqualification case for raising the moral turpitude and imprisonment of more than 18 months issue. Now, to note, a COC cancellation petition only has one ground, and that is material false representation. Nevertheless, the Second Division decided to proceed with deciding on the issues or substance of the petition instead of outrightly dismissing it. Now, Marcos Jr.'s material representation are not false, hinged on Supreme Court rulings, according to the division, because the decision on Marcos's tax cases made final in 2001 did not explicitly contain any ruling on his disqualification as an accessory penalty. The COMELEC Second Division is of the view that perpetual disqualification from holding public office as an accessory penalty to a conviction cannot be assumed and must be explicitly stated in the court decision. The division ruled the 1994 tax code, which included the accessory penalty for government workers and employees of perpetual disqualification, did not apply to Marcos Jr.'s tax case because this law, the tax code of 1994, took effect only in 1986, while Marcos's tax cases pertain to taxable years 82 and 84. The last tax case against him for taxable year 1985 pertains to tax returns that he should have filed not later than March 16, 1986. But the division ruled that by this time, he was no longer a government official because he and his family were exiled out of the country in February of the same year. Thus, the second division says there was no intent to mislead on the part of Marcos Jr. precisely because he was not meted the perpetual disqualification penalty. The second division also says the tax case conviction does not involve a crime of moral turpitude because nowhere in the court rulings was this stated that the conviction involved a crime of moral turpitude. Commissioner Antonio Cord Jr. has a separate concurring opinion, Casey. He voted, of course, in favor of the ruling of the division, which is unanimous. But Antonio Cord specifically stated in his separate concurring opinion that perpetual disqualification in the case of Marcos is not actually an accessory penalty, but a principal penalty. And all the more should Marcos not be disqualified because this is absent in the court rulings. Now, petitioners Abuena Fe et al. Have 5 days to file their motion for reconsideration. Their counsel, Attorney Theodore Pez, says that they will file their MR. Casey, incidentally, we're also waiting for the consolidated ruling of the first division composed by Commissioners Guanzon, Casquejo, and Terolino on three consolidated cases, disqualification cases, also against Marcos Jr. These were filed by Akbayan et al., Ilagan et al., and Mangelen. Now, we're waiting for that. Commissioner Guanzon said that the ruling will be out today. Also, the printing of ballots will not proceed today as scheduled. We are waiting for word when the printing shall begin. And we've been told that the final ballot phase or the final template with the names of all official candidates is already out, but has not been officially released to the public. Now, as far as Bongbong Marcos is concerned, if these cases against him do not attain finality by the time the printing of ballots begins, then his name will still be included in the official ballot. These are latest updates from the Commission on Elections. Casey, back to you.
Thanks a lot, Ina Reformina. They are joining us on the line. Appreciate it, Ina. Take care and you keep safe. Moving on, tech giant Apple is set to require retail and corporate employees to provide proof of COVID-19 booster shots. Citing an internal email, tech website The Verge reported that the booster shot mandate will take effect beginning January 24th. Those who are unable to submit proof of vaccination will need a negative COVID test result before being allowed to enter Apple offices. Many companies in the U.S. have been strengthening their COVID-19 rules, mandating vaccination and delaying back-to-office plans amid the Omicron surge. Some offices of the Philippine Human Rights Commission have suspended physical operations due to the threat of COVID-19. Liza Aquino filed this report.
The Commission on Human Rights announced yesterday that they will temporarily close some of their offices starting today to pave way for contact tracing efforts and other safety measures amidst the rising number of COVID-19 cases in National Capital Region. Some of the offices that will be closed are CHR Central Office, CHR NCR Office, and CHR Region 4B stationed in Quezon City. They did not disclose, however, how many personnel if there are any of their personnel that are COVID-19 positive. CHR hotlines and their social media accounts, however, will continue to be open and ready to attend to any concerns. Normal operations will resume on January 22. For other concerns, you may reach them at 0936-068-0982 or 0920-506-1194.
Three inmates escaped from the Nubilibid Prison's maximum security compound early Monday morning. Let's get more details now from our correspondent, Jack Pataliones. He now joins us on the line. Jack, go ahead.
Yes, Carmina, good afternoon. Three inmates from the maximum security compound of the Nubilibid Prisons in Muntinlupa City escaped early Monday morning. Based on the initial investigation by the Philippine National Police, the inmates jumped from the pathwalk into Gate 4 and shot one of the jail guards. They then went through Gate 3 and also had a firefight with the jail guards before bolting out via Sitio Magdaong inside NBP reservation. The wounded jail guards were immediately brought to the nearest hospital. One of the inmates was wearing the penitentiary shirt and denim shorts, while the others were wearing black shirts and shorts. All the escapees were reportedly armed. Based on the report from the Bureau of Corrections, the suspects were identified as Arvin Villeta Bayo, who is serving a sentence for murder, Raki Yosores Falcon, who is convicted for robbery with homicide, and Pacifico Villaruz Adlawan, who is convicted of frustrated homicide. Carmina?
Thanks a lot, Jack Mataliones, there joining us on the line. Appreciate it, Jack. Take care and you keep safe. No word yet on any fatality in Tonga and in nearby islands following Saturday's eruption of an underwater volcano. The sister report tells us the resulting tsunami claimed at least two lives, more than 10,000 kilometers away.
Two people drowned off a beach in northern Peru, the local civil defense authority reported on Sunday, after unusually high waves were recorded in several coastal areas following Saturday's eruption of an underwater volcano in Tonga in the Pacific Ocean. The Peruvian police said on Twitter that the two victims were found dead by officers. They are the first recorded deaths of the wide-reaching tsunami. Meanwhile, Tonga remained largely uncontactable on Sunday, with telephone and internet links severed. The official death toll in Tonga and surrounding islands remains unknown, leaving relatives in faraway New Zealand praying for their families. Here was Prime Minister Jacinda Ardern.
Good afternoon, everyone. I know many of you will have seen the footage and found it deeply concerning. Since then, the New Zealand government has been urgently attempting to gather information about the situation on the ground in Tonga and the Pacific, as well as issuing local warnings relating to strong waves and surges on the New Zealand coastline.
In Japan, hundreds of thousands of people were advised to evacuate on Sunday as waves of more than a metre hit coastal areas, public broadcaster NHK reported. The underwater volcano off Tonga erupted on Saturday, prompting tsunami warnings and evacuation orders and causing huge waves on several South Pacific islands.
Philippine authorities closely monitoring the situation of Filipinos in areas affected by the eruption of an underwater volcano. The Foreign Affairs Department says the Philippine Embassy in Washington, make that in Wellington, is already coordinating with local authorities and community leaders. There are around 87 Filipinos in Tonga, 300 in Samoa, and 400 in Fiji. Here at home, state volcanologists emphasize the need to study all volcanoes to minimize damage and prevent casualties in the event of large explosions.
Historically, large explosions do not occur regularly. They have a recurrence interval of hundreds to thousands of years. And if you recall, in 1991, Mount Pinatubo erupted in the Philippines. And prior to the 91 eruption, the interval between explosive eruptions of Pinatubo would also be close to 1,000 years. So these kind of events do not occur quite frequently, but need to be considered in preparing for extreme natural hazards and possible disasters that can happen in an area. What really need to be done is to study all volcanoes and their potential of large explosive eruptions and the consequence of these large explosive eruptions.
World News Now, North Korea conducts another suspected ballistic missile launch. Japan and South Korea reported the North had fired an unidentified projectile toward the ocean off its east coast. It would be Pyongyang's fourth missile test this year as it forges ahead with its plan to boost its military capability. The series of launches had prompted the Biden administration to impose its first sanctions on North Korea last week. The U.S. also called on the U.N. Security Council to blacklist several North Korean individuals and entities over its nuclear weapons program. Ukraine suspects a group linked to Belarus and Russia carried out a cyber attack that hit Ukrainian government websites last week. More on this report.
Kyiv believes a cyber attack that hit Ukrainian government websites this week was carried out by a hacker group linked to Belarusian intelligence, according to a senior Ukrainian security official. The attack used malware similar to that used by a group tied to Russian intelligence, defacing government websites with threatening messages. Serhiy Demidayuk, Deputy Secretary of the National Security and Defense Council, told Reuters that Ukraine blamed Friday's attack on a group known as UNC-1151, adding that the attack was cover for more destructive actions behind the scenes. The attack splashed websites with a warning to, quote, be afraid and expect the worst, at a time when Russia has amassed troops near Ukraine's borders. In Kyiv and Washington fear Moscow is planning a new military assault on Ukraine. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki.
We have information that indicates Russia has already pre-positioned a group of operatives to conduct a false flag operation in eastern Ukraine. The operatives are trained in urban warfare and in using explosives to carry out acts of sabotage against Russia's own proxy forces. Our information also indicates that Russian influence actors are already starting to fabricate Ukrainian provocations in state and social media to justify a Russian intervention.
Russia has dismissed such fears as unfounded. Meanwhile, Canadian Foreign Minister Melanie Joly is set to travel to Ukraine's capital, Kyiv, next week to reaffirm support for Ukrainian sovereignty and to reinforce efforts to deter, quote, aggressive actions by Russia, according to Ottawa on Saturday. Joly released a statement saying in part, quote, the amassing of Russian troops and equipment in and around Ukraine jeopardizes security in the entire region. These aggressive actions must be deterred. Canada, with a sizable and politically influential population of Ukrainian descent, has taken a hard line with Moscow since the annexation of Crimea in 2014, imposing punitive measures on more than 440 individuals and entities. Prime Minister Justin Trudeau's office said that he spoke to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky on Tuesday and, quote, emphasized that any military incursion into Ukraine would have serious consequences, including coordinated sanctions.
Right, for COVID-19 cases in the Philippines now breaching 3.2 million. For more on the current surge, we're now joined by Dr. Ronjean Solante. He's chief of the Adult Infectious Diseases and Tropical Medicine Unit at the San Lazaro Hospital in Manila. Dr. Solante, nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us today.
Hi, Carmina. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. So let me ask you, how would you describe the current situation that we're in right now?
Well, you know that cases are still increasing here on the ground. We're seeing a lot of this mild to moderate COVID. The difference here is that compared with Delta, more of in the Delta, we're seeing a lot of those patients needing oxygen. This time, we're not much of the oxygen, but they're just complaining of body malaise, myalgia, cough. And I think that's more of the most common manifestations that because of their comorbidities, most of them are going to the hospital just because to check on their comorbidities. If it's not because of their comorbidities, majority of times it's really not because of COVID, but because of their comorbidities.
I got it. And they're sort of also concerned because even if they're vaccinated, because they have underlying conditions, they don't know where this infection is going to bring them. So better, to their mind, it's better to be under the care of doctors.
Yes. The scenario now is that you don't know where's the source or what's the source of this infection. Mm-hmm. Most in the household are positive, mildly symptomatic, but again, we always have to remind everyone, it can be mild, but for the vulnerable population, for the 60 years old and above, those with comorbidities, these are the people that may have unstable comorbidities when COVID infection sets in.
Dr. Solante, lots of people coming out of their quarantine now as we speak, but they're still testing positive when they use RT-PCR tests. Why is this so? And until when will they be contagious?
Okay, and let's remember this, no? When one is infected and when you have the symptoms, when you have only mild symptoms, the most you can do is you have to isolate yourself. If you are fully vaccinated, the most that you are still infected within 7 days. And after that, you can go out of your isolation. If you are not fully vaccinated, then you need to be quarantined at least 14 days now. So the 10 to 14 days is the golden period by which you still have to be maintained on isolation if you are symptomatic. And as much as possible, even with an RT-PCR positive, but you are already beyond the 10 to 14 days, then most likely you are not anymore infectious, but you're still carrying the virus, which is remnant of that during the first few days of active infection.
So what then should you use? Do you use the days or do you use antigen tests to determine if you're still positive or negative, considering that, as you said, the RT-PCR test may still read the remnants of the virus? Go ahead.
Yeah, that's a good question, because a lot still doesn't know how to interpret how many days that they need to be isolated. When you say isolation, meaning you have the symptoms. If you only have mild symptoms, you need to be isolated for 10 days. Okay, the most is 14 days if you still have symptoms. But remember, beyond those days, even if you're an RT-PCR positive, chances of you being able to transmit is already less. And that's what we want, that you have to isolate those particular critical number of days. So don't be worried if you're... And that's why, Carmina, we don't use RT-PCR again, no? That you need it to repeat it again after 10 or 14 days, because a lot of times that will still be positive, but that virus is not anymore transmissible.
Yeah. So the key here is isolation and, you know, cutting the transmission of the virus to other people. What do you think of the situation now, Dr. Salante? Do you think that we are nearing the peak?
Most likely, the data that will be gathered in the next 4 to 5 days will be very crucial, because if it will still be increasing, then that will be nearing the peak. But if it's already downtrending, then most likely we are already beyond the peak.
Finally, you're an infectious diseases expert. With the way this Omicron variant is behaving, do you think that we are nearing the end of this pandemic? We've been hearing a lot of things about this. Some COVID minimizers even calling this Omicron variant a blessing, but I want to know what you think, Dr. Salante.
Well, this is the heavily mutated virus that we have seen so far. And the other aspect here is that it presents with less severe symptoms. Now, if you are infected with this, that means you have the antibody, okay? You can be protected with a reinfection. But again, a reinfection is not remote, again, with another Omicron variant, because, you know, when you had an infection and you don't have the vaccine, then reinfection can set in within 30 days, within 40 days. That's how early, because you know that reinfection is always possible. There's no such thing as lifelong immunity against any infection. If it will be the end of the pandemic, it will be the end of an Omicron variant, but we don't know what other variant will emerge, and that we have to know. So, meaning I'm not so optimistic about that this will be the end of the pandemic. As long as, Carmina, remember, as long as there will be community transmission of COVID-19, there will always be a possibility that mutation can occur and a new variant of concern can emerge.
And finally, Dr. Salante, we're handling it pretty well, I would say, if you compare it to the other surges, our hospital utilization rate, but of course the manpower suffered greatly. I want to know what kind of warning you can give to the provinces, considering that what we're experiencing right now may just be what they're going to experience in the next few weeks.
Well, it's very important, again, to remind them of the health protocol, because the way we had this Omicron variant-driven transmission in Metro Manila, it's because of the gathering during the holidays. It's because of less compliance to the health protocol. These are very important aspects in the prevention of blocking that transmission. And of course, we need to, again, encourage everyone, especially in the provinces where the vaccination rate may not be as high as that with the NCR. Vaccination is important. Get your booster the soonest possible time. You are a candidate for that, because that will be your difference in terms of getting the more severe and getting the mild symptoms, which is vaccination.
Dr. Ronjane Salante, infectious diseases expert there at the San Lazaro Hospital. Thanks for all that you do. Thanks for making time for us this afternoon. Really appreciate it. Take care and you keep safe.
Stay safe.
Thanks a lot. Now, before we go, popular children's song Baby Shark sets a YouTube record. The song has reached 10 billion views on the video sharing platform over 5 years since it was released by South Korean educational company Pinkfong. Baby Shark has inspired a worldwide dance craze. It has also been turned into a Nickelodeon TV show and a live tour. For more on this story, head on over to news.abs-cbn.com. Next on In Focus, it's the turn of Senator Francis Pangilinan to take the hot seat. We'll speak to Senator Pangilinan about his bid for the vice presidency tomorrow. That's January 18th here on Dateline Philippines. If you got any questions, send them in to ANC Alerts on Twitter and ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Use the hashtag ANC In Focus. And that'll do it for today. Thanks for joining us. I'm Carmina Constantino. If you want to revisit this episode, Dateline Philippines podcast is on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. Playback this newscast too on ANC's YouTube channel and on ANC 24/7 on Facebook. Keep safe. Keep it here on the news channel.